hopefully what I'm doing and the staff here are doing is getting people back into a space where they're as happy as they can be.
From the Central Adelaide Local Health Network, this is Our People, where we introduce you to some of Carlin's dedicated workforce who provide world-class healthcare services to our community.
Everything changed for Troy Andrews on his family's station in far west New South Wales when, at 11 years old, a serious spinal injury set him on a new path. With a love of sport, he went on to represent Australia at 5 Paralympic Games in 2 different sports, winning gold and being awarded a Medal of the Order of Australia. But Troy is also an allied health assistant and wheelchair technician at the SA Spinal Cord Injury Unit based at the Repat Health Precinct, which supports patients as they begin their recovery and learn to maximise their independence and abilities. I'm Caroline Winter, and Troy Andrews, it's great to have you in the Carlin studio for this episode of Our People.
Thanks for having me.
Troy, you spent your early years on a station near Broken Hill helping out around the family property during a period of drought. Tell us about your early years on the station.
It was all hands on deck for all us kids, you know, the old slave labour on the farm. And during the drought times, we had to make do. So Dad had a small earth moving business and I learnt to drive cars and drive D4 bulldozers very early in my life. So from about 8 or 9, I was driving a D4 bulldozer in my school holidays.
You often hear about, kids growing up on farms. It sounds like yours might have been the typical, getting out and getting muddy and enjoying yourself.
Yes, and as the oldest boy, I always got the harder task to do. So it sort of toughens you up and puts you in good stead for the rest of your life, really.
And as a country kid, did you live that typical country life?
Oh, yeah, yep. We learnt to drive early. We learnt to shoot rabbits and trap rabbits very early on. All the towny kids used to come out and learn to drive and shoot as well. So it was fun times, but hard times.
Indeed. Now, Troy, everything changed for you when you were 11. Can you talk us through what happened?
Just before going back to school after school holidays, Dad and I had come back from doing some earth moving and a big storm came through, like a tornado, and tore the roof off the homestead and toppled a 1,500 weight section of stone chimney on me, breaking my spine.
My goodness.
The last thing I remember was seeing the veranda lift and the light smash in the kitchen where we were. So I was out to it for probably 24 hours before things sort of came round.
That must have been a hell of a storm.
Yes. We lived about 2 miles off the main road, and in that hour it took them to get me out from underneath the chimney and into the car. It rained that so much that when Dad towed the car out behind the car was almost passing the tractor in the water on a fairly flat property. So, yeah, we must have had torrential rain for that hour.
You say that you were out for quite some time. When you came to, where were you and what had happened?
I was in Broken Hill Hospital in ICU waiting on the flying doctor to take me to the spinal unit in Adelaide. But because of the storm, they were held up until the next day. So I had sort of stabilised a bit by then. So had a free plane ride down to Adelaide and my rehab started from there.
That's a lot to take in for an 11-year-old, Troy.
Yep. But as I said, the first 10 years of my life were pretty much drought and hard work, so it made your resilience. It's just another lump and bump on a highway, you know.
Yeah, resilient indeed. Talk me through, you went through rehab, and how long did that take and what did you do once you'd finished your rehabilitation?
In the old days, a bit of history here, I went through the Morris Wards, which was part of the Northfield Infectious Diseases Hospital, which then became Hampstead Rehab Centre. Mm. In the early days, I spent 9 months in there because my spine collapsed 3 months into my rehab. So I spent a bit of extra time there. I had some appendix out and a few other side shows that kept me in there. But after that, I went back to school and finished my up until year 10 in high school and then started my working career.
And what did your working career entail at that point?
I actually got an apprenticeship down in Adelaide at what was called Weapons Research Establishment, which then became Defence Science and Technology Organisation. I got a fitting and turning instrument making apprenticeship there, and I spent 12 and a half years working there, and they were really good. But then there was the Defence White Paper came out and restructured, so I took a package and then got a job working for Hampstead.
That's quite a shift too, isn't it, in terms of careers?
Yeah. It was a steep learning curve. Yes, I had the mechanical skills, but then learning the medical side of things as well along the way was I learnt something every day, and I still do.
Indeed. And at that time, what role did you walk into?
It was within the occupational therapy department in the spinal unit, and I basically started as an allied health assistant, but mainly doing wheelchair repairs, adaptions, making bits and pieces for splints and using my mechanical skills. And then probably 10 or maybe a bit longer than that, 15 years into it, I was offered an allied health certificate 4 opportunity, and I took that, and so I got that qualification as well.
Could you have ever seen yourself in healthcare at that time?
No, you never know what door's going to open to you every day. So as a youngster, I sort of really didn't know what I was going to do. And then it happened that a position became available at Defence, and I took that. Otherwise, I would have probably gone to university and maybe done something legal like law or something like that. I don't know.
I want to come back to that in just a moment, but the other side of your life is your love of and brilliance in sport. So you've achieved great success in your sporting career. What are some of your most memorable moments?
Well, I've been to 5 Paralympics before I retired. So my first one was for 10-metre air pistol, where I ranked 4th in the world, which was pretty good, but 4th is always worse. I would have preferred to come 5th. 4th, you just missed out on a medal, you know.
Oh, yes.
So it sort of teased you, but it didn't give you anything. But I enjoyed that because I grew up with guns, so that came naturally and it got me to a Paralympics. But I always set my sights on playing wheelchair basketball. And after that, I managed to make the national, or the state side, and then the national side. And I played for Australia for 18 years and SA for 20 or 30 years. So had a lot of successes, and lows were those things as well. But the highlight was winning the gold medal at the Atlanta Paralympics in 1996.
Amazing. What an incredible achievement. As you say, a range of Paralympic Games in there. I understand you went to Seoul and Barcelona, as you mentioned, Atlanta, and in Sydney for wheelchair basketball. What was it like being out there during an Olympics on the court and hearing the roar of the crowd and knowing that you are part of this remarkable team?
It always gives you an extra level of intensity and you're also nervous and a bit highly strung as well, so it sort of tempers it as well. So and it's depending on which team you're playing, you know, some teams you're fired up even more so. If you played Britain or America, you'd always sort of tend to fire up a bit more because they're the old foe, so to speak. But then you couldn't really write off other teams, but you had to be on your mettle all the time.
You mentioned the air pistol events in which you represented Australia in, relating back to your time on the farm as a child. Were you a sporty kid?
Oh, yeah. Definitely so. I did all sorts of things. I was pretty good at 800 metres. I was almost got into a representative side for football to go to Sydney. That was a year I got hurt. But I did cricket, all those sorts of things. I just love sport.
Do you think your trajectory was always going to lead you in the direction of some kind of sport at a higher level?
Mum was a champion tennis player, and was they wanted her to go on the fledgling women's world tour, but she was only like 19 at the time, and her mum said, "No, bit young yet." So, and then she met the old boy and got married, and that was the end of that. But she played with Ken Rosewall and players like that in the early days. So she was broken heel champion for many years.
So definitely in the DNA there.
Yes.
So while you were going through your sporting career, were you also juggling work at the same time and working with people with spinal cord injury?
My sport and work clashed a lot of times, so I had a fair bit of time off to go overseas to do bits and pieces, but the department was very good with that, and I did work extra hours and did what I could to sort of make up that gap. It also sort of helped inspire some of the inpatients at the time. They'd come and watch us training, especially when we had the state team and or our National League team training out there. So it sort of went hand in hand.
I can imagine, absolutely, having you in supporting some other people and seeing what you've achieved and what you continue to achieve would be inspiring. What is it that you enjoy about your current role at the Spinal Cord Injury Unit?
I think my enjoyment is, A, learning something new every day, but putting that into practice and hoping to assist someone in either regaining some function or abilities and or some sort of ease of getting back into the community.
And so you're part of a multidisciplinary team. When we think about that multidisciplinary focus, I guess that's across a range of aspects, isn't it? Physically, emotionally, and psychologically. So what is it for you that makes it so special to be part of a team that can focus on all those different parts?
Well, it's nice at the end of the client's time, or even when they come back as an outpatient, to hopefully see that they've transitioned into a new life, so to speak, and are getting on with it as best they can.
In your experience as someone with a lived experience of spinal cord injury, but also as someone working in a team supporting patients with a spinal cord injury, what do patients have to overcome in the aftermath of an accident?
Well, there's always a grieving process because they've lost an ability, but then it's hopefully coming to the realisation that it takes more planning, preparation and even punctuality to start moving forward as quickly as they can in a changed environment.
And is it different for everyone in terms of whether the mental or the physical are the harder elements to deal with or to get past?
Well, the human being is an interesting species. I've seen people with the worst injuries have the best outlook, and some that had hardly any injury have the worst thoughts about the whole thing. So everyone's different, and you just take it in as they come along. You can't plan this person's going to be that or that person's going to be that. Everyone's different.
And in your role there as part of this team, what is it, if you took me through, I guess, a day when a new patient comes in, what is it that you work on with them from day one?
Day one, when they come out, the OTs will select a wheelchair, depending on level of disability and needs and all that sort of thing, and I will adjust that chair, footplate lengths and wheel positions and things like that, so that initially they can sit up, and then as they go along, I'll adjust that chair as their chair skills evolve, or whether they need adaptions to splints for power chairs or things like that. So it's on a daily basis, you're just moving forward inch by inch, trying to get them as mobile as possible. So some people are good one day and not so well mentally the next day, so it's a movable feast, so you've just got to see what comes through the door every day and adapt to those situations.
Having someone with a lived experience like yourself dealing with patients, I have no doubt, definitely must help in that connectivity, I suppose. Does that mean that sometimes they're a little more honest, do you think, with you because of that?
Yeah, I've had a little bit of backdoor counselling at time, or opinion. What's my opinion on various things that they sort of may not accept from the physios or the OTs initially, that, you know, because it's a bit too hard or a bit left field, or they particularly don't like that process. But then they'll come and say, well, what do you reckon about that? I'll say, well, basically there's no shortcuts with spinal injury, so you've got to have a crack at it, and if it doesn't work, it doesn't work, but hopefully it will for you. That's what we're here for.
And Troy, are there any questions that you get that have difficult answers?
Oh yeah, there's always the worst one that I get is new clients. They come and help work on their chairs and things like that, and they'll say, "Well, how long have you been in a chair?" And well, I hold my breath, but I have to be honest and say, "Well, I've been in a chair for 50 years now." So, and you can see that dread come across their face sometimes when the realization hits them that, you know, they might not get better back to walking and stuff. So that is the one big question I hate to hear, but I'll answer honestly because you've got to be honest. I just say, look, I've been in a chair for 50 years and, you know, if you're, you've got to take it day by day, and if you get some of it back, all of it back, you know, you've just got to accept what you get back and hopefully you can work with whatever level of function you return.
Mm. You mentioned that you might get asked advice, I suppose, but if asked, what advice do you offer your patients? What's the best advice that you can give them?
Oh, basically give it your best shot, you know, because you're master of your own destiny, and in time you'll benefit from being as independent as you can. Yes, ask for assistance when you have to, but do as much as you can as often as you can.
And are there particular parts of the body that someone really needs to be mindful of after a spinal cord injury that I guess someone without that sort of injury wouldn't really think about?
Well, with spinal injuries, you get loss of sensation or partial loss of sensation below your injury. So basically your skin integrity is the most important thing, because if you get a pressure wound or injury, sometimes people spend years in bed waiting for those wounds to heal, and sometimes they don't heal. So basically your skin's your most important part of your body when you've had a spinal injury.
What's the highlight of your job?
Hopefully seeing someone leave quickly rather than hanging around for too long and then coming back and have a sunny disposition that they've sort of accepted and moved on. They've gone back to work. They've gone back to the real world, not having being woken up in the middle of the night with nurses coming in, checking on you and all that sort of stuff. When they come back, they've sort of adapted to the whole thing.
Troy, when you look back on not just where you are now, but your life as you've had it to this point, how do you feel?
I feel pretty happy with how things have gone for me. Things are a bit harder. You have to plan and prepare a bit harder, and it takes a bit longer for some things, but I think I've headed down the right path in life, considering what was dealt to me in 1973, so I'm pretty happy with life.
Sounds like you absolutely should be. And what impact do you think you're making in the lives of your patients?
Well, hopefully I'm making a significant impact. You know, they might not say so, but hopefully what I'm doing and the staff here are doing is getting people back into a space where they're as happy as they can be.
Well, Troy, it's wonderful work you're doing, and your patients are very fortunate to have you there. Troy Andrews, thank you for sharing your story and joining me in the Carlin studio for Our People.
Thanks very much, Carolyn.
Thank you for listening to Our People. For more episodes in this series, find us and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We'd love to hear your feedback, so please leave a comment or a rating and share this series with your colleagues and friends. This podcast was developed by the Central Adelaide Local Health Network. We would like to acknowledge the Kaurna people and pay our respects to their elders, past, present and emerging, and acknowledge their spiritual connection to the land on which this podcast is recorded.